Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode.
Hello everyone and welcome to our final dark minisode of season 15. I genuinely cannot believe it's only 2 days away from our season finale. And of course, if you're one of our wonderful regular listeners, you're listening to this on a Wednesday, and by this afternoon, our Patreons will have already received that finale. But sometimes anticipation can be a good thing. And the tale we have for Friday is one of the most intriguing I've ever read. But of course, if you can't wait that long and you want to hear it now, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And of course, you'll receive all of these episodes, be it a finale, a debut of season 16, a minisode. Plus, you can get access to our Dark Bites back catalogue, all by becoming a Patreon. So why not head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, we have the very important matter of our final dark minisode of season 15. And today's dark minisode comes into us from one of our wonderful listeners in Slovakia. And she goes by the name of Julie. And Julie writes, "Hi, my name is Julie and I'm from Slovakia. And since I found your podcast a few months ago, I'm obsessed. I love the work you do, and I hope I'll be able to listen to you for a long, long time. My experience is not so much about poltergeists or ghost activities, more energies. I've had a few things happen here and there. For example, knocking on a door, and when I'd go and open them, no one would be there. Knocking on windows, etc. But nothing life-threatening, which I'm very glad for, to be honest. Hearing the stories of people being choked, etc., I always thought, no, not for me. But I always could feel the energy of people, spaces. I was always able to read the energy in a room. I was raised as Christian, even though I'm not really strict. But still, these topics were kind of banned in our family. No ghosts, no demons, nothing like that. They weren't really topics that we openly talked about, or even mentioned. They were swiped under the mat, if you know what I mean. So most of the stuff that happened to me remains untold, except for a few people. Anyway, on to my experiences. I was raised in a large house. We had a big basement, a large main floor, and a large attic space, where me and my sister had rooms when we grew older. As the name of the email says, the house number was 666. Most people would say, "Hey, that's a demonic number," and laugh. But me, on the other hand, I have to say that I do believe that numbers have a really big meaning in our lives. Demonic numbers, angel numbers, even lucky numbers. I believe numbers hold their own type of energy, be it good or bad. This particular number, 666, well, it definitely set up the mood of the whole house. I think the first paranormal experience I had was when my lovely grandfather died. He was the person out of my whole family that I loved the most. I still remember the day when I saw him in hospital for the last time. His truly last day alive. After I visited him, seeing him there for the first time in hospital, that is, he died overnight. I strongly believe I was holding him on in this world. And once he saw me, he could finally go. I always get emotional. Even now, when I'm writing, I have tears in my eyes, thinking back to that moment. Back to the important part, though. During that night after the visit, I saw him. Well, not literally him, rather his ghost. I was already laying in bed, sleeping because I had school the next day, and I felt steps on my bed. You know, like when somebody sits or steps on the bed next to you, and it makes a dent and you can feel it and you kind of move into it. Well, I was scared to turn around, because I just knew someone was behind me. But at the same time, it was so quiet. Like, deadly quiet. I even thought if this was my mum, she'd say something so I knew it was her. And then I felt it touch my leg. But it was soft. A soothing touch, a reassuring touch. So, of course, my curiosity took over. As young and wannabe brave as I was, so I looked around and there he was. This big and tall shadow standing right above me, looking down on me. Despite this, I wasn't scared, and I didn't feel threatened. If anything, I felt calm. I somehow knew it was Grandad, and that he'd came to say goodbye for the last time. So I said goodbye, I told him I love him, and I turned around to go back to sleep. The next morning I was telling my mum, and she didn't believe me, obviously, because I was only a small child, it could have just been a dream or a weird coincidence, etc., etc. It was probably because we went to the hospital today and it's on your mind, things like that. Now, many of you may be thinking, oh, another story of somebody coming to say goodbye. But this is when it all just started happening to me. So please bear with me. It was quiet for some time. Nothing paranormal. Just a feeling. An uneasy, always being watched from the corner, never feeling alone feeling. And the worst feelings were in the attic and in the basement. Yes, other typical paranormal stuff, I know. But there was no reason for that. Because both were really light. There were no dark, gloomy corners. And there were enough windows everywhere. The basement was basically a living area during the summer, as it led out onto the garden, a pool, etc. Except in the attic, there were these small doors. I'll describe how it looked. You've got simple but steep steps that go into the attic from the foyer. Up there were two big rooms that my parents reconstructed. First room, my old room, was the one my grandpa came to visit me in. The second one, almost identical to the first, was my room later, when my elder sister moved out. Both of these rooms had small doors that led into an attic space, and that was used as additional storage. In the first room, it was small and narrow. But in my later room, it was rather bigger, dark, and it had an atmosphere that made you not want to be in there. No one wanted to be in there. And when anyone needed something from there, it was really quickly in and out situations. And usually it was me because of how low the space was. This room was the most problematic. It was always too cold in the winter and too hot in the summer. Even though the room was fine, there was always a feeling of dread in there, like someone was staring into you. Today's show is sponsored by Acorns. Now, I used to believe investment was only for people on Wall Street or people with finance degrees, people who used phrases like buy low, sell high, and other things I will never understand. But the one thing I do understand is the importance of letting your money and your future having a chance to grow. However, investments can seem daunting and most people don't know where to start. And for many people, including me, you believe you need a lot of money before you start investing. Plus, we all have busy lives and we don't have the time to go researching how you start investing. So we say I'll do it tomorrow or next week or next month. But we all know tomorrow never comes. But Acorns make it so easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommend an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals and then automatically invest your money for you. I've recently turned 45 and investment has never been on my radar, but people like Acorns are so clear and straightforward, they've not only put it on my radar, but took it off my plate. So head over to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app today and start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. For important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
On more than one occasion, I'd find stuff turned over, misplaced, bedsheets messed up, the door closing and opening by itself. But I never thought much of it at the time, thinking maybe I was just absent-minded and I'd left things like that. I mean, I was a messy teenager at that time. Or I'd say maybe it was the wind or something like that. But I was always doubtful. You see, messy or not, I always knew where I left my things. And then I started having nightmares. It was always something chasing me, like I was prey. And these things that would chase me never had a shape. They were just like dark, grey pieces of nothing. Although in one nightmare, I was running and I came to a room. A simple room, just walls without windows and a door. It was kind of like my room. And then a face peeked through the door. with long, sharp teeth, red, glooming eyes, and horns. Long, long horns. And it was smiling at me. Smiling in a way that I got chills all over my body. It put its hand up over the edge of the door frame and started to slowly open the door, placing its other hand on the door frame. Its long, sharp claws were burying into the wood, slowly creeping, and I couldn't move, scream, or speak, nor close my eyes. I was just looking straight into its face, facing what felt like death itself. I somehow snapped out of that dream when I woke up, and I instinctively looked at my door. And there it still was, but it began to vanish away. It took me a few moments to calm down and to convince myself it was just a dream. There was nothing there. I managed to calm myself down and I surprisingly fell back asleep without any more nightmares. All was good and the day went normally, but when I came back to my room in the evening, the doors were open. Well, I closed them that morning. With an uneasy feeling, I closed them again, and I tried to ignore the obvious physical interaction that had taken place. After that point, it was now normal for me to wake up between 2 and 3 a.m., always filled with anxiety, and always with my eyes on the doors. And it always felt as if something was watching me. As I said earlier, there wasn't a lot of paranormal stuff happening that was going on in the house. It was an uneasy feeling, a heaviness. It was draining our energy. Everyone in the house was feeling tired all the time. We were bickering over tiny things, arguing, especially my parents. One of the last encounters in that house was when my parents were out for the night. As my elder sister was already living with her then fiancé and my younger sister was at grandma's, I was alone. I was enjoying myself watching TV in the living room, and then I heard steps, as if someone was dragging their feet over the floor wearing shoes. But not on the same floor. This was coming from the basement. The problem was I was alone, so who the hell is in the basement? It was really loud. These footsteps stopping right at the end of the stairs which led up to the main living area. I was thirsty as well as scared, and I stood up to go and grab some water. But on my way to the kitchen, you had to go around the doors to the basement. And as I did so, I was shocked, because I found those doors opened wide. Now, my mum had hated when we left doors open, so it had been embedded in us to always close the doors. And we did. But there they were, opened wide and almost inviting me in. I took a deep breath in and out, and I slowly approached to close the doors. But as I looked down, I swear I saw a shadow glide away from those doors. I closed them quickly, and with a beating heart, went to the kitchen, grabbed my water, and went back to the living room. I continued watching TV, and again I heard the steps. But this time they were joined by the banging of the kitchen cabinets, like they were slammed shut. Just to make you aware, the basement did have a small kitchen that we used when we were harvesting veggies or processing them and canning them, etc. And of course it had cabinets, but they didn't have doors on them. With trembling legs and shaking hands, I slowly stand up and decided I needed to be brave, and I went to check it out, But what if there's someone there? We did have back doors to the house, so maybe they'd been left open and someone had come in. So I slowly crept down the stairs, around the corner, to see the basement and the hallway. Nothing. So I moved even slower to the back doors that were straight in front of me. I checked them out and made sure they were really closed tight. Locking them with a key, I turned around to go back to the living room, and then I felt it. Wind blowing into my face. There were no windows open to let any wind in. Well, I ran upstairs, slamming the doors behind me and jumped on the couch until I fell asleep, and then I moved into my room. This was one of the last encounters outside of feelings that I had in that house. But like I said at the beginning, I do believe numbers have their own energy. And our 666 house had a lot of negative things happen. First, my dad cut his hand off with a chainsaw. He was a carpenter and owned his own company. And I remember to this day when he called home on the landline and said he'd cut his hand off. He was still screaming in agony. Because of this, my parents got into financial difficulty. Then my dad had another accident, where he basically flew down the stairs which led to the basement. He ended up needing stitches to his face because of how much it was damaged. And that led to yet more financial problems and some addictions that I won't really go into detail about as they're rather personal and this really isn't the place for it. I simply bring it up to emphasize the negativity in the house. This all led to the fact my parents lost the house and they needed to move out. At that time, I was already out of the house and living on my own. I strongly believe that that house needs cleansing, despite the fact it was a new build. We were the first owners, and I never really figured out what could have caused that negative energy, even though at the same time, I think the number itself is really something to talk about. This all just taught me to keep an eye on the living space you're in, especially when alone. And to cleanse and be respectful of that space. Because there's nothing worse than coming home, expecting wonderful energy, and instead you get this crushing, heavy feeling. P.S. If you feel like your own home doesn't feel good or welcoming, pay attention to it. Believe me, it's worth it. Sincerely, Julie. Well, thank you so much, Julie, for providing the final minisode for this season. And I'll let you in on a little thing that happened to me the other day. I'm currently living in my dad's, as he's in hospice care. And I'm the only one in this four-bedroom, three-level house. And the other night, through lack of sleep, through general anxiety, I said out loud to the house, "Can we work together? I need to feel comfortable here, and I'm going to be around for a while." And as I turned around, I slowly saw the kitchen door closing. But it was very slow. It was very subtle. Was it paranormal? I doubt it very much. But it was highly coincidental that as I ask the house a question, something moves of its own accord. So that really resonated with me, your final statement. But thanks once again, Julie, for your submission. And for everyone, our next minisode will come after the first episode of Season 16 of The Dark Paranormal. And until then, take care. Thank you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.